This is Todd Wright, and this is the Toddcast, presented by Brandon Legal Group. If you are in the Tampa Bay area and you are in need of legal assistance, please consider Brandon Legal Group. You do not need to ask what type of law they specialize in, as they are a full service law firm. And you do not need to have your legal issue originate for personal or professional reasons within the city of Brandon, Florida. They service the greater Tampa Bay area. Call them for a free consult when you need legal assistance. They are huge supporters of Todd Wright Tour golf events. As a matter of fact, they have the first foursome in the 2019 season opener coming up next weekend at Chichi Rodriguez Golf Club. Brandon Legal Group, 844-4BLG-4ME. 844-4BLG-4ME. We know this isn't an impulse buy, and you're not going to immediately run to the phone, even if you're a supporter of the podcast or the golf tournaments, and just call Brandon Legal Group. Our hope is you never need legal assistance, but when you do, you can call them and go from there. 844-4BLG-4ME. And if you ever forget the phone number or feel uncomfortable just calling without an introduction, just let me know. I'll remind you of the phone number or reach out to them on your behalf. Brandon Legal Group, full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. Quick note on my golf tournament, the 2019 season opener has been sold out for weeks, sold out nearly a month in advance. If you do not want to be locked out and be victims of future sellouts of my popular golf tournaments, this is our 18th golf tournament. We started in October of 2015. They are inexpensive, well-organized, very unique in format. The one next weekend is Good versus Evil Part 3. My thanks to the entire golf staff at Chichi Rodriguez Golf Club. They are giving me a golf course beyond my expectations in terms of how we are preparing it, both for the good nine, the front, and the evil nine, the back. My format's just, I'm challenged to make all of them more unique. And I have a lot of wonderful relationships with area businesses on prizes to make everyone happy. If you'd like to be involved in future golf tournaments and be invited to the pre-sale before the tournament goes on sale to the public, this last time, by the time we went on sale to the public, I had roughly three or four foursomes to sell. That's it. That's how popular the pre-sales are from people who play in my events. You can email me and I'll put you on the pre-sale list for the spring event coming up in April or May. ToddWrightGolf@gmail.com. ToddWrightGolf@gmail.com. I don't want to go too long with this podcast because I haven't been feeling well. Part of the reason why, obviously, during my 17 years of national radio, both for professional and personal reasons, I traveled all over, went to virtually every sporting event, every venue imaginable in North America for a time. And part of the reason it finally caught up to me was I was tired of getting sick. It's a very unfortunate thing about travel is that you are sort of, and I know you, there are certain things you can take to make yourself more immune to these, but it doesn't always work. So my most recent trip out to Dallas for the Seahawks-Cowboys playoff game, it got me again. And the weather in Dallas was really nice. I mean, it was golf weather in Dallas. I should have taken my golf clubs. Ridiculous that I did not and head out to Cowboys Golf Club or the Legacy or any number of courses that I like out there. So clearly I just picked something up, as many people do, on an airplane, in an airport, in a rent-a-car, in a hotel. Also, being at the game, I was around 90,000 other people, thankfully sitting with some really nice people at the Cowboys game itself. But I came back with, let's just call it the crud. It wasn't the flu, thank goodness, but it was the crud, and it still isn't gone. But that's why I've waited to offer another Toddcast until I felt well enough to just even speak into a microphone. here in my home and sound like a broadcaster, because it's been a struggle. So I apologize. Thanks for some of you reached out and said, when's the next Toddcast? Again, just wasn't feeling well. So hopefully you are more immune to this than me, and you avoid what is out there, whether you are traveling or not. And I'm not going political here, but as I did go through the TSA lines, and this was a couple of weeks ago now, I made a point of thanking as many TSA agents as I could for working, considering they weren't being paid to do so, and to the air traffic controllers who helped me get safely to the Cowboys Seahawks game and back. Thank you as well. All right, so this Toddcast, I just want to talk about where we're at with the coaching changes and a few observations, since it's pretty clear to all of us now, even though the Bengals and the Dolphins don't officially have new coaches, that they are simply waiting for the Rams and Patriots to play the Super Bowl before they bring in coaches from one each of those respective teams. I want to bring up 2016 as some perspective before I go forward talking about the changes for 2019. Back in 2016, there were seven head coaching changes, one which was filled by, after a team fired a head coach, the interim coach actually was promoted full-time to the head coaching job, that being Mike Mularkey. So we count that as one of the seven from just three seasons ago. Seven teams, either during the 2016 season or at the end of the 2016 season, fired head coaches and made changes. That's seven. Of course, this year we had eight. Of those seven, six of them are all gone within 3 years, and some didn't get a third year. Ironically, I talk about the guy who was the interim coach in 2016, who was promoted to full-time head coach. The interim coach in 2015, who was promoted to full-time head coach in 2016, that was Mike Mularkey with the Tennessee Titans. Interestingly enough, Mularkey was dumped after the 2017 season, despite the fact that Tennessee made the playoffs as a wild card, something they didn't do this year. And Tennessee came from behind and rallied to beat the Kansas City Chiefs, and then lost in the divisional round of the playoffs to the New England Patriots. No shame in that. Mularkey was dumped. Other coaches did not have quite the success that Mularkey did. As a matter of fact, of the other six, only two others made the playoffs. One of those was Adam Gase, made the playoffs in his first year coaching the Miami Dolphins in 2016, had the Dolphins very competitive and in the hunt for the playoffs in 2017 and 2018, despite really a mess of an organization and a very bad owner with the Miami Dolphins. It was clear by the end of 2018, Adam Gase had lost the team. But prior to that, Adam Gase had won most of his one possession games with an inferior roster based on talent. Now, clearly, Gase didn't want Jay Ajayi around. And there were other players where Gase just decided that he didn't want any part of them on his roster. But the argument could also be made he never had a franchise quarterback to work with, and not much else. Still, Gase had the Dolphins regularly competitive until losing the locker room at the end of the 2018 season. I made the point throughout my segments on VSiN this year with Gil Alexander, the Vegas Stats and Information Network, that when Adam Gase would be dumped by Mr. Ross in South Florida, Gase would immediately be rehired because I often look at coaches who may be on the chopping block and then view them and say, okay, are they still head coaching material? Is the problem the organization they're coaching and not them? And Gase was clearly the exception to me, and we'll get to that, but it turned out to be the case. The only other coach that was a new head coach in 2016 who got his team to the playoffs was Doug Peterson. He's won a Super Bowl and had the Eagles in contention for a trip back to the Super Bowl before the Alshon Jeffrey drop in the divisional round against the New Orleans Saints just this year. Peterson is the last coach standing. From the seven hires for the 2016 NFL season, Peterson is the last one remaining with his team. The others were Chip Kelly with the Niners, Dirk Cutter with the Bucks, mentioned Adam Gase, Hugh Jackson with the Browns, and Ben McAdoo with the Giants. I was tempted to say Ben McAdoo, but Hugh Jackson I didn't say disaster with, and Hugh was worse even though he got another year. So of those seven, only one is left. One. 3 years later, just one, and he won a Super Bowl. It reminds me of what's going on now. So when you hear people like me and others have a negative tone towards the majority of the eight coaching hires for the 2019 season, again, the most recent example of that many coaches being hired at one time, it turned out very badly for most of the teams involved. Of the seven, only three of those head coaches made the playoffs, and two of them were fired despite making the playoffs, and one won a Super Bowl. The other four, I think we'd all agree, Kelly, Cutter, Jackson, and McAdoo, didn't change anything. And in some cases, you can argue it got worse. So the point I'm making there is that there is a clear example of when you have a bunch of head coaching hires of most of them not working out. And that was just 3 years ago. Because when I look at the hires for the upcoming 2019 season, I see a lot of the same thing. It is difficult if you're asking me, well, which one's the Doug Peterson? Of the eight hires for the upcoming season, who's the Doug Peterson? I don't know that. I can't see that. I am a big believer that Adam Gase is worthy of being a head coach in the National Football League. I like him with Sam Darnold a lot more than I liked him with Ryan Tannehill, Jay Cutler, Brock Osweiler, etc. And don't read too much into a press conference. Clearly the Jets and Adam Gase lost the press conference, but you know what? A year ago, John Gruden won the press conference, and how'd that work out for the Raiders the first season? You're not hiring Gase for his beautiful eyes and his ability to be socially palatable. You're hiring him for his offensive mind and his abilities as a head coach. And clearly those were on display for 2 3/4 seasons in Miami. If you just look at games decided by one possession or less and how many of them Adam Gase actually won. So I think the Jets hire of Gase is very sensible. I also like the fact that the Jets brought Greg Williams over, a veteran defensive coordinator, when Williams was let go by the Cleveland Browns. Now, speaking of the Cleveland Browns, to promote Williams to permanent head coach, which would have been sort of a Tennessee Titan-like move with Mularkey, I don't think was the right way to go. It was what a lot of Browns fans wanted, but generally, when you promote the interim coach to head coach, it does not work out. There's not enough change there to change the fortunes of the organization, to change the room, to change the direction of the team. So while I don't think promoting Greg Williams was the right move for Cleveland, and therefore he had to find another place to be defensive coordinator, and I applaud the Jets for the hire, Cleveland promoting Freddie Kitchens is probably worse than the idea of promoting Greg Williams. Kitchens isn't head coaching material, and the move to promote Kitchens, speaking of 3 years ago, is almost exactly the same move the Buccaneers made when they promoted Dirk Cutter. because they wanted to maintain the same philosophy, the same voice in the ear of the same young quarterback in Jameis Winston. Dirk Cutter wasn't head coaching material. Dirk Cutter will probably never be a head coach again, maybe an interim head coach at some point if his boss gets fired, because he knows how to handle the other stuff. But no one looked at Dirk Cutter at the time and saw a future head coach. It was a bad move by the Buccaneers. It resulted in no change in the Buccaneer history of not going to the postseason, where they haven't won a postseason game in 16 years. And Cutter was eventually fired. And ironically, now the Bucs are basically saying the only problem with our team was not the GM, not the quarterback, not the current roster, not the owners. It was clearly the coaching staff. No, that's wrong. So the Freddie Kitchens move to keep him with Baker Mayfield strikes me as the same move the Bucs made with Dirk Cutter and Jameis Winston, and I would expect the results will be similar. Speaking of the Buccaneers, they were one of only two of eight teams, the other being Denver with Vic Fangio, to go with an old guy as head coach, albeit, unlike Fangio, an offensive guy and an old guy with head coaching experience. You'll be hard-pressed to find anyone that has anything bad to say about Bruce Arians, and I don't either. I'm just wondering why Arians is doing this, what his motivation is. Because Bruce Arians, to me, by doing this, is trying to, A, save Jameis Winston's career, B, save Jason Light's career, C, save Todd Bowles' career. Arians went into retirement just a year ago. Perhaps retirement and him didn't go as planned. And for anyone who watched and listened to Bruce Arians on CBS doing TV, he wasn't exactly Tony Romo. So I question the motivation here of Arians returning to the sideline and why he's doing it. Because often we have a lot of cases in professional sports where you have a head coach who changes when he's sort of in retirement mode and just trying to get by. Jimmy Johnson was that way with the Miami Dolphins. Lou Piniella was that way with the Tampa Bay then Devil Rays. I worry about that from the Arian standpoint as well. And I disagree, as I've already said, with the basically end game that the Buccaneers decided, yep, it was all the coach's fault. There's nothing wrong with the roster. There's nothing wrong with the GM. There's nothing wrong with the quarterback. We get in new coaches, and we're on the right track. Nope. Just another bad decision from bad owners. Vic Fangio. That's the Denver move. Miami's doing the same thing with Brian Flores, bringing in a defensive mind. The Broncos and Dolphins clearly zigging when everybody is zagging. Doesn't mean it's not going to work. I just don't know anyone that really viewed Vic Fangio as a future head coach. And I'm not sure it really solves what's going on the offensive side of the ball, as the Broncos continue to seem to, they went through a few different ideas with what they wanted to do on the offensive side. Kubiak was in, then was out. Case Keenum just doesn't seem like a fit there. Sure, the Broncos having a better defense would be significant for them getting back on track. But clearly, I think the problem in Denver is John Elway is calling all the shots, and Elway is making a lot of bad calls. The one good one he made was bringing in Peyton Manning. But would we all agree? Peyton Manning chose Denver. They didn't choose him. Peyton Manning chose to play for the Denver Broncos. He was like a number one recruit coming out of high school, who gets to choose wherever he wants to play college ball. That's what that was. John Elway just didn't say no. Nice job, John. Other head coaching moves. LaFleur, I understand it. LaFleur was going to be a head coach, but it's not like his last year in Tennessee with the Titans as offensive coordinator looks that good. Again, the Titans, it seems like for 3 years, just are unwilling to hand the ball to Derrick Henry and let him dominate the game plan. I don't understand it. By the end of the year, they were doing it, and it was too late. They could have won the division had they done it earlier. Mike Mularkey probably would still be the head coach if he had done it in years prior to 2018. So LaFleur was going to be a head coach, and we'll see how it goes. If Aaron Rodgers likes what he hears with LaFleur, and the best thing working for LaFleur is he's not Mike McCarthy. So change in this case is good. Many have questions about it, but I think it can work. But it only works if Aaron Rodgers wants it to ultimately work. And the only other one that we didn't talk about was Arizona and the Cardinals move. I mean, maybe this is why Bruce Arians retired, because he didn't want to deal with who was in charge of the Arizona Cardinals anymore. So Arizona goes out and hires Cliff Kingsbury. Clearly, they're hiring Cliff Kingsbury, trying to get another young, bright offensive mind who works with quarterbacks. It seems like the only reason why Kingsbury gets this job is because he coached Patrick Mahomes in college. Okay? He's not coaching Patrick Mahomes in the pros. He couldn't win with Patrick Mahomes at Texas Tech. And he wasn't viewed as a legit NFL head coaching candidate. So this looks like a really bad move by the Arizona Cardinals, who are now on their third coach in 3 years after blowing out Steve Wilks. By the way, there are some who are very critical of the fact that the Cardinals blew out Wilks after just 1 year. I am not. Wilks sucked. No other way to say it. He sucked. And granted, the Cardinals organization as a whole doesn't look like a very good place to be right now. Still, as someone very close to the Arizona Cardinals who covers them on a daily basis and has for years told me, quote, he was a defensive coach brought in to be the head coach, and he destroyed the defense. That's Steve Wilks. By the way, Browns fans, that's your new defensive coordinator. Good luck with that. But yeah, Kingsbury is the Arizona Cardinal coach because he coached Patrick Mahomes in college, and Patrick Mahomes is not on the Arizona Cardinal roster. I want to like Josh Rosen, but Rosen's not Patrick Mahomes. So again, the coaching hires for 2019 look a lot like the coaching hires of 2016 in the way they ultimately worked out. I guess the good part of that is, if that's the case, one of these eight is going to win a Super Bowl. I'm guessing that if Aaron Rodgers and LaFleur get along, it'll be him. Because I can't look at any of the other seven and immediately see a Super Bowl in any of those teams' futures. The Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group. 844-4-BLG-4ME. 844-4-BLG-4ME. Brandon Legal Group is a full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. Call anytime for a free consult. 844-4-BLG-4ME. Thanks for listening to the Toddcast. Thanks for being patient with me during my illness, and we'll talk to you soon.